If you have experienced stress, anxiety, or even trauma, what have you done, if anything, to help you manage or overcome the thoughts and emotions that may derail your day, sleep, and your overall well-being? The podcast and guests have opened my eyes to alternative modalities that go beyond therapy and prescriptions. Hypnosis, EFT, and Reiki can all be considered to help us find peace. Today, we're going to talk about the ancient practice of acupuncture, among other things. But what you may not know is that a licensed acupuncturist goes through years of training to master the science and techniques of this fascinating practice. My guest is super interesting and very wise, and I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I can even say I felt a little zen after speaking with her. Health, wellness, career, relationships, and everything in between. We're removing the taboo from what really matters in midlife. I'm your host, Michelle Follin, and this is Asking for a Friend. Welcome to the show, everyone. Our guest today is the author of Honoring Darkness, Embrace Shadow Work to Nourish and Grow Your Power. She is also a trauma-informed licensed acupuncturist, Reiki practitioner, shadow worker, and shamanic Tao healer. Winnie Chan Wang is a professor in acupuncture at Alhambra Medical University, and in her private practice, Winnie honors her clients as divine self-healers, navigating their healing journeys as co-pilots. Winnie combines the medical science of a clinically trained acupuncturist with the spiritual knowledge of a shaman to help her clients process their trauma by channeling source healing energy and guided breathwork. Through sharing stories, she hopes to be a mirror in helping others know themselves and own their authentic source power. Welcome to the show, Winnie Chan Wang.
Hi, Michelle, and a shout out to all the listeners that are tuning in. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for being here. I think this is kind of a cool topic. We've not really dug into trauma and self-healing on the show before, and I think it's just a great intro to our listeners into what you do. I would love for you to start first and just tell the listeners where you're from and also about your career path.
Sure. I'd just like to open with a question to all the listeners. How many of you have stress?
Yeah.
And how many have burnout?
Yeah.
And how many people feel like they're never good enough?
Yeah.
Yeah. So join the club. I want to tell you a little bit of the backstory and then what I'd like to talk about today. I am an Asian immigrant. I came to this country when I was 15. Actually, I came here for political safety. So my parents sent me to this country, but they stayed behind. And that was the source of my first trauma because can you imagine leaving everything you know, your father, your mother, your bed, your country, your school, and just going to a new country by yourself?
No, I can't even imagine. I didn't even like going to summer camp as a kid.
And I didn't even know, but I started having coping mechanisms, right? So most people know that the stress response is fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Fight is where you get really defensive. Some people get angry and triggered every 3 seconds. Flight is where you get scared and you just check out, you run away. And isn't it true in this country we have so much addiction, whether it's addiction to porn, addiction to social media, addiction to sex, to alcohol, whatever it is, we're trying to avoid something. Freeze is when we literally feel stuck. It's like we're frozen. We don't know how to move forward. And then fawn is people-pleasing.
Yeah.
Where I abandon myself just to bend over to take care of other people because I want to be liked and have this sense of belonging. If you have ever experienced stress, probably you have one of the four or maybe all four of the coping mechanism or the response, which is fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. Okay, so first of all, I came from a country where I didn't even French kiss a boy. And then within 3 weeks, that was like my first Me Too. I was just fresh off the boat and I have no idea that boys in America are so aggressive. You know, I'm just kind of this innocent girl walking around and have no idea. So I have all kinds of Me Too from high school, completely unequipped to handle this country. And I think a lot of listeners might have Me Too even they're from this country. Over time, I built more and more walls around my heart. While some people have maybe negative habits like smoking, drugs, whatever, mine wasn't all that great either. My addiction was work. I became a workaholic. It's really funny. They're like, oh, Winnie, you have 4 science degrees. You graduated from computer science from MIT. You're so great. You're so great. You're so great. I'm like, oh, but maybe that's all just a trauma response because I wanted to run away from sitting with myself, my loneliness, my lack of roots, family, love, all of those things. And I just kept pushing and pushing myself to build out my resume. There is a defensive mechanism, which is I can't trust anyone to take care of me. The only person I can trust is me. So I better earn a lot of degrees, make a lot of money.
Yeah.
That was kind of the first part of my life.
May I ask you a quick question?
Of course.
Who were you living with when you first came to the United States?
I went to a boarding school.
Oh, okay. So you weren't here with any family at all?
No.
Okay.
What happened was I had a near-death car accident. At the age of 37, I thought I was going to die, but I didn't die. So after that, I thought, okay, clearly there is something that isn't working in my life because I was having so much anxiety and depression at that point. My God, I would cry 3 hours a day, sometimes twice a day. I was completely dysfunctional. And talk therapy seemed so scary. I didn't want to go to talk therapy because to me, talk therapy is telling somebody all the things that I wish I am and I'm not.
Right.
I had this idea that I don't want to find out exactly how rotten I am. I don't want to have somebody guide me through the process of finding out all the things that I do wrong. So I was avoiding talk therapy. And after the car accident, I was like, you know, Winnie, you have so much fear of the future and you're angry about so many things that happened in the past. I think it's time for you to get into healing and transformation. That's it. So the spark turned on. And ever since then, I have been on this spiritual path. And because I do have 4 science degree, including computer science from MIT, I have this hacker mentality. Because if my client comes to me and she has chronic UTI, she doesn't care if it's Western medicine, if it's Chinese medicine or spiritual medicine. She just wants the chronic UTI to go away. Like, just make it go away. I don't care what you do, right? It gave me a lot of creative freedom to explore all the different modalities. I'm basically a lover. I'm pro all kinds of Western medicine and pro-talk therapy, pro-Chinese medicine and spiritual medicine because I'm like, if it gets the job done, it gets the job done. In Chinese, we have a saying, doesn't matter if it's a white cat or black cat. If the cat can catch a mouse, it's a good cat.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it could be a black cat as long as it catches the mouse.
Yeah.
And you mentioned to me before that the body keeps score and that the anxiety, the stress, the unresolved trauma can present in a million different ways in our bodies and how we respond to things. When you are seeing clients, what physical symptoms that have manifested, what are you typically seeing in those people?
So actually, everything has a root cause. Let me backpedal. Why I got into this was because my first year as an acupuncturist, I encountered a client who had breast cancer for the fifth time. So she did chemo. It came back, chemo came back, chemo came back, chemo come back. And then I'm like, oh gosh, I know you're going to get chemo again, but we need to do something so that it doesn't come back. Or at least I'm going to try my darn hardest to look at the root cause. You know, earlier I mentioned chronic UTI. You know, in this country, we have a lot of fibroids, cysts. And those things, let's just focus on that because I really want to talk about being a woman. The challenges of being a woman and also women's health. Very quickly, in traditional Chinese medicine, there's five elements. There's wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. And they correspond to different organs and different emotions. So for example, anger is trapped in the liver. We're going to focus on anger because there are two kinds of anger. There's covert anger and overt anger. And women have more of this like chronic UTI, ovarian cysts, fibroids, and breast cancer because we are expected to be a nice girl, a sweet girl, right? When we think about the ideal woman, she's one who is sweet, who is devoted, and maybe some even say submissive. That's a word that they use in the Bible.
Yeah, I think we suppress a lot of emotions and anger and feelings, for sure.
And so what ends up happening is all that anger is stuffed in the energetic liver. So that's the TCM liver. That is also responsible for everything like menstruation and storing of blood. So basically, you know, if you have painful periods, irregular periods, or maybe you have difficulty getting pregnant, all of these things could be related because you holding some grudge in your body, like physically, right? Body keeps a score. Usually, women come to me because they already have a physical symptom. You know, I remember one time I had a client, she had decreased eyesight. She found me on Yelp. She's like, Winnie, can acupuncture help me with decreased eyesight? I said, okay, if you give me full range of freedom, then any modality of practice, I'll give it a shot. And she said, yes, I want my eyesight back. I'm like, okay, good. When we sat down, I asked her, how long have you had this eyesight problem? And she said, 3 months. I said, okay, so tell me 3 months ago, what was the thing that pissed you off the most? And she said she got into a fight with her sister. And then her sister set boundaries and just cut her off and gave her the silent treatment. And she got real angry because she's like, who are you to decide to give me the silent treatment? So I turned to my client. I said, okay, you know what? You have every right to be angry because yeah, who is she to decide the boundaries, right? But then do you want your eyesight back? By the way, you must have said something to make her angry at you that she wants to set boundaries with you. I said, here are your options, girlfriend. A, you can be angry at your sister. She has no right to set boundaries, no right to give you the silent treatment, and you're going to lose your eyes. Or you can forgive your sister, forgive yourself, and have your eyesight back. Which one is it going to be? And then she said, okay, I choose to forgive. I said, good choice.
And?
Literally one session. And she completely restored her eyesight. And I would say it's like a collaboration between the practitioner and the client, right? Because if she's not ready to forgive, there's nothing I can do to override that, right? So for example, somebody says, oh, Winnie, can you help me lose weight? I said, okay, but if you're going to go and eat 21 cheeseburgers a week, you don't waste your money on me because I can't override if you're not willing to change. It's so funny because right now I want to talk about the paradox of being a woman. Because you know what? being a woman is not easy.
No, it's not. And most of my listeners, I say most, are in midlife. And midlife in itself can bring on anxiety for many reasons, because there's life transitions. We've got children leaving the nest. There's menopause, which Lord knows that causes all kinds of havoc for some women. How do you help women at this stage in life when sometimes anxiety can also be really out of control?
What I find is a two-step process. The first step is to have compassion, because imagine the child fell off the bike. The first thing you do is attend to the wound, make them feel better. And when they feel better, then you might evaluate, okay, you were going too fast. You were making that turn, you should have slowed down, right? But if you went straight to lecturing and how you should have done differently, then maybe the child will feel, I'm not loved, love is conditional, my mom always finds things that are wrong with me, right? So I think part of the challenge is also reparenting ourselves, because I don't think our parents necessarily had a lot of compassion for us, because you know what? There are two sides of the coin. One is, I'm perfect exactly as I am. And the other side of the coin is, there's room for improvement, isn't it? If we're stuck on the side, I'm perfect as I am, we'd never improve. And if we're constantly improving, then we're not resting, we're not nourishing, and we're not experiencing just being.
Yeah.
Just allowing, just sitting with exactly who I am.
That would be exhausting.
That's why we have burnout in this country, especially during COVID. The doctors are burnout. The public school teachers are burnout. I think the statistics is that 40% of public school teachers actually want to walk out on their jobs, right? So the burnout in this country is significant. And then you ask the question, why do we have this burnout culture? Like, why are we always trying to change? And that's because the yin and yang. We've been in patriarchy for thousands of years, where we like achievement more than resting, isn't it?
Yeah.
We ask people, what's on your resume? How much money do you make? How big is your house? Where did you go to college? I almost resist telling people my bio because I want to say I'm just a lover. Right? But we work in that society where I have to drop my credentials instead of just say, you know what? I'm a lover. Have me on your podcast. And then the other side, right, is peace, is rest. I don't think we greet each other with how many hours of sleep you got last night. Oh, good for you, right? But usually we're talking about our business, how much money we're making, instead of how's our sleep, how's our peace. That is the paradox.
How do you empower someone who is feeling hopeless? You talk about that a lot of shadow work, which I'd like for you to explain what shadow work is, but it's really about taking responsibility for yourself. But how do you get someone there?
Yes. Thank you for that question. Okay, let me ask the listeners a question, okay? How many people think that they can make $1 million in 3 years?
Well, if somebody raises their hand, let me know, because I'd love to find out.
Yes, yes. Leave a comment. Give us a 5-star review and share this podcast episode with your friends. Okay, so back to the topic. What you believe is what becomes true. One of the things that I learned once I become a healer is this thing. Every sentence that is spoken and every thought that is unspoken, it's either a blessing or a curse. Let's apply this to parenting, okay? So let's say it's me and my teenage daughter, and she's playing video games all day. if I have fear, then I'm teaching my daughter how to fear. If I have trust, I'm teaching my daughter how to trust. I have a choice. I can either say, oh my God, my daughter's playing video games all day. Is she ever going to be a contributing member of society? Is she ever going to put her phone down? Oh my God, what am I going to do? I put myself in the powerless victim state. Or I can choose another empowering conversation. I trust my daughter to make the right decisions about food, about screens, about dating. And even if she makes the mistakes, which is, by the way, the only way we learn, it's going to be okay because she knows that I love her and I am a safe space. And I trust that she knows that if she's ever in trouble, she can count on her mother's unconditional love, unconditional support to help her through any crisis. So I'm empowering her, right? Instead of being the helicopter mom, I'm giving her permission to, okay, maybe stay up too late one time, get a couple C's in the, you know, history paper. But then eventually she will learn, instead of like her going to college and all of a sudden she has anxiety and depression because she never learned to self-regulate on any substance, whether it's like food or screen time, healthy habits, right? So I would rather she make the mistakes in my house as a teenager and have a safety net to catch than for her to be making the mistakes out at college campus. And I don't know, bad things happen out there.
Do you feel like what you do for a living now has really influenced how you're raising your kids?
Yes, absolutely. The biggest difference is trust. I trust myself and I trust my kids, and the power of just praying and meditating, keeping myself in the vibration of love helps everything. And I'm going to share this story. Okay, so during COVID, everything was locked down, right? So one of my daughters gained a lot of weight. I remember my mother visiting, actually. And then my mother said, oh my God, Winnie, you have to do something. Look at your daughter. Her arms are so flabby. Her thighs are so flabby. Like, she has no muscle tone. Look at me. I'm like a grandmother and I have more muscle than she does. I'm like, okay, Winnie, relax. Take a deep breath. Your mom is in the vibration of fear. You can transform this fear into trust. And I always say this. I cannot teach forgiveness by making my daughter say sorry if she doesn't feel sorry. I can't teach gratitude by making her say thank you if she doesn't really feel gratitude. The only way I can share anything is to be it. Be forgiveness, be gratitude, be love. And in this case, be healthy. So I just kept saying, okay, if I keep going to Pilates and yoga and doing my squat lunges and planks, and I keep eating healthy, she will be bathing in my vibrations. And as long as I keep showing her how much I love her and being a positive example, one day she will come around. And I don't even know how it happened, but one day it dawned on me, my daughter is dancing 12 hours a week. She now has this gorgeous dancer body that I'm honestly jealous of. I'm like, her arms are toned, her butt, her thighs, everything is toned. And let me tell you, I did exactly zero worrying. I didn't get on her case and say, you need to go work out, nothing. I just work out myself and just trust that, okay, in the right time, she will do it, right? This is self-empowerment. Instead of worrying, is trusting.
Yeah, you know, I can come up with a few examples of my own where it's like the light bulb goes off with our kids and you don't want to say I told you so, but you know deep down that these are things that you've been asking them to do for a long time and they finally do it, and it's so much more gratifying for them to come up with this all on their own and to achieve that success or to have the things turn out well, right? Because they did it on their own without me nagging at them. It's a great message, Winnie. I love that. Do you ever meet people or see random people and feel like you need to help them? Is there any kind of intuition involved here with what you do?
I really love that question because as women, I think that our heart is so big. Isn't it true? Like when we see someone who's struggling, we just want to reach out and help them. I love social media because it allows me to hold a lot of people in my heart. And sometimes I see people post messages on social media, which is a straight out cry for help. You can feel their anxiety. You can feel even their struggle, you know, even with suicide idealization. And yes and no. So most of the time I do reach out, but then I just leave an offer and then give space. Because one of the things is, if I didn't offer help, then it's like I didn't do my job. But if I keep pushing, you need my help, you need my help, you need my help, then, you know, I think that's one of the great things I learned from being a mother of teenage daughters, is sometimes they're not ready. I remember I once talked to Pastor Peter. I said, why are people so attached to suffering? You know, I wrote this book called Honoring Darkness, Embrace Shadow Work to Nourish and Grow Your Power, because shadow work is where you look at all the blockages in your life and you transform them, right? It's like compost. You take the rotten tomatoes, the banana peels, the animal poop, and then you compost. Now you can grow banana tree and lotus out of this fertilized soil. I'm like, okay, I have this great book, I have these great programs, but why are not more people jumping at the opportunity to transform? And the answer is because sometimes people are not ready. I avoided any talk therapy for years. I needed to have a near-death car accident before I'm like, okay, Winnie, enough is enough, okay? I can't pay this car insurance, so let's go get talk therapy and stuff like that, right? So I do think that all transformation needs to be self-motivated. I really believe that. And so there's also a readiness question. We can't make somebody do something when they're not ready.
That applies to so many things in life. It's only going to be successful if we accept it and it's something that is important enough to us to act. Oh my gosh, I could think of a million examples in my own life where this definitely applies. Would you share another success story with us with a patient? Because I find this very fascinating what you do.
So remember we said five elements. So we've shared about anger and healing the eyes. So another element is the water element, and the organ is kidney, and the kidney opens in the ear, and the emotion is fear. So one time one of my girlfriends, she called me upset, Winnie, I have liquid coming out of my ears. And I've been to the ER twice. They gave me everything. Antibiotics, steroids, even cancer medication, but absolutely nothing can stop the liquid from coming out of my ears. Can you do something? And again, I set her down and I said, okay, how long has it been, you know, that you have water coming out of your ears? And I again asked the same question. Okay, what is the most scary thing that you had to do at that time? So then she told me that she had to make a decision as to whether or not to sell her company. And she had a lot of fear because if she sold the company, she's afraid that she's selling it for too cheap. Hmm. And if she doesn't sell the company, she's afraid that she'll never get another offer. I said, okay, I understand. You're afraid that if you sell it under value. And if you don't sell, you're afraid that you'll never get another offer. but where is the company now? And she said, oh, I sold it a month ago. I'm like, bingo, do you see the emptiness of your suffering? Like, your ears need to get the memo. You're not there anymore. And I said, are you ready to give this up? And she said, yes. Yeah. So what I offered her was actually a transmission of source light. So this is where I do the shamanic dial healing, where I connected to source light and offered. And what it is, okay, let me finish the story and then explain this technology. So, so that's it. You know, I did acupuncture for her and then I offered this source light blessing. And then after one session, there was no more liquid coming out of the ears. And of course, it's not me because it's 50-50. It's always 50-50, right? 50% is that she realized there's nothing to fear anymore, right? And that's the other thing people need to understand. Fear, scientifically, according to a Harvard research, emotion follows thought for 90 seconds. What that means is a single thought generates the amount of chemicals to sustain the emotion of anger or fear for 90 seconds. If we are not stuck, if we didn't have trauma stored in our body, if we didn't have coping mechanism where we have the default of fight, flight, freeze, and fawn, if we were just a blank canvas, then when we experience a thought, oh shoot, should I sell the company or not sell the company? We will experience fear, but then we're like, okay, you know what? If I sell the company, I love myself. If I don't sell the company, I still love myself. So therefore, I am loved unconditionally no matter what. I love myself regardless of the choices I make and regardless of the outcome. So therefore, the outcome is actually inconsequential. And when you can believe that you are loved unconditionally, so all of a sudden, decisions are not so life and death anymore. There's no actual lion running after you. And maybe there is yesterday or 3 months ago, but not right now. The problem with the human mind is that we get stuck on this thought. And then if we have unhealed trauma, this trauma, in this case, fear is stored in the kidney, right? So it's stuck in the body. And now if you don't get work done, then every time you have fear, just more fear is like packed and packed and packed in the organ. That's why I'm like, oh, everybody needs to like do some work, transformation. And all you have to do is tell somebody your problem and get on the massage table and take a couple of needles and then, you know, experience transformation. So let me explain the technology, because a lot of people are like, oh, this spiritual stuff, it's like, I don't know if it's true or not. Actually, it's explainable with quantum physics. So there's this book called Tao Science. It's written by a quantum physics PhD, and I highly recommend it because, okay, I have MIT degree, so I can get nerdy for a minute.
Oh no, get nerdy, because I think explaining it's better than just people kind of just thinking, okay, this is woo-woo theory. I want to dig into that.
Okay, let's get real scientific. Everything we see, even this glass of water or even this microphone and this human body, everything, actually nothing is truly solid. Everything is a particle and a wave. So basically, think about water. At very low vibration, it appears solid as an ice. When you apply heat faster, faster, the particles move faster, faster, then we have water, the liquid state. And then if we apply more heat faster, 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 then we have steam or gas. Trauma is kind of the same thing. Actually, anything moves the same way. Everything is particle and waves. You know how we like to say, okay, anger and fear is low vibration. Love, forgiveness, gratitude, that's high vibration. So basically, every time you experience fear or anger, you want to transform that into love or forgiveness, right? So the shadow work is being able to sit with your fear and your anger And then the transformation work is being able to transform the dark or the low vibration into the high vibration. In science, we just heat up the water and it can transform from solid to liquid to gas state, right? So the same thing happens in our physical body. I mean, I'm not going to promise that you can heal from cancer because I don't want to lose my medical license. But just think about the possibility that everything that we think is solid, if we move it enough, it's just a wave, right? So quantum physics tells us everything is defined by three things, right? There's the frequency, the wavelength, and the amplitude. So you can actually scientifically measure the vibrations, whether you're low vibration and high vibration. So for example, let's take this glass of water. Actually, they have studies. I don't know if you've seen them, but like if I say, I hate you, you're a loser, you suck, it actually changes the crystallization inside the water. And then now if I drink this water, I'm drinking cursed water. Oh.
Stop, don't do it.
But if I say, I love you, you're the best, you are important, you are worthy, and now I drink this water, I'm blessing my own water. And one thing I want to say is this, I'm a very scientific girl because I have 4 science degrees. If you want to know if this is real or not, try it. Like be a scientist and use your body for experimentation, because what do you have to lose? You have nothing to lose.
Really, you have nothing to lose. Right. What I really like about this is that it's really, no pun intended, it's really looking at things as glass half full rather than glass half empty. And if you all are wondering what that noise was, Winnie was putting her glass back down on her desk. It's fine. We get noises all the time. But I mean, I understand that a lot of people listening to this are probably going to go, oh, come on. But you have nothing to lose by trying this in your own life and to have a more positive outlook on whatever it is that you're confronting. Try to turn it into something that can help you move through and heal. I think it's a great message. Why wouldn't you do that?
If you're still not believing, buy yourself an ice cream cone, go stand in the middle of the sun, and just sit and wait and watch the sun melt the ice cream. All the blockages in your life is the same. Whether you're living paycheck to paycheck, you have financial blockage, you feel like you're dating the same guy over and over again, and or your husband keeps cheating on you, you have relationship blockage, or you have some kind of physical blockage. In this case, we talked about blockages in the eyes and in the ears. Everything, the theory is the same, is if you apply enough love, then the blockage melts. That's it, you know. If you want to know if it's true or not, try it. Who is allergic to love here?
I'm not. Winnie, do you feel like acupuncture is becoming more mainstream as a treatment modality?
That's a great question. In this country, most people know acupuncture for 3 things. One is pain management, such as lower back pain, shoulder pain, neck pain. Secondly is fertility. Thirdly is cosmetics, like Kim Kardashian trying to get rid of the wrinkles, right? What most people don't know is that acupuncture is an excellent medicine for releasing emotional imbalances such as anger, fear, unworthiness, overthinking, anxiety, depression. And partly it's because if you have lower back pain, you might have pain so bad you can't bend over. And then you need to do something because it stops you from walking or sitting. If you want a baby, you know you want a baby. And also, if you don't want wrinkles, you know that you don't want wrinkles. So a lot of the times people are aware of what they want and then they go seek an acupuncturist. But most of the time when people are angry and they just keep yelling at their kids or they just keep resenting their husband, they don't know that they have a problem. They don't know that they need to go to a talk therapist, and they don't know that they should see an acupuncturist to rebalance and reset the central nervous system. And then sometimes these emotions get stuck in the body, and then eventually they turn into diseases.
When you did have the patient who had the fluid coming out of their ears, where did you indeed perform acupuncture for that patient?
Wow. Okay, so acupuncture is actually a four-year medical degree with internship, which is like the equivalent of residency and MD. So it's a very rigorous medical degree. So I can't condense like years of medical training into explaining what are the needles that I did. But all I can say is, if you go to somebody who is licensed, they have to sit through a very rigorous test. These laws vary state to state, but in the state of California, we need to be tested in Western medicine as well as Chinese medicine. So we actually had to memorize Western medicine and Chinese medicine to get a license to be an acupuncturist.
That is incredibly rigorous.
Yes.
Well, congratulations for getting through that. God. What else are you working on, Winnie? I have to think, you know, you've got the book, you've got the successful practice. Is there anything else on the horizon for you?
Yeah, so right now, actually this year, I started a nonprofit called Compassionate Transformation. And it was really motivated because in January this year, there was a mass shooting 20 minutes from my house. And I just felt like, okay, Winnie, it's fine and dandy that you have a private practice and you help your local community. But, you know, if you want to work with me privately, which please do, or in my paid group practices, please do, is this idea that I want to make wellness accessible to everyone, regardless of income level, right? It shouldn't be, oh, you have money so you can afford to work with Winnie. If you don't have money, you can't work with Winnie, right? So I'm like, how can I work with other people who might not financially be able to work with me privately? And the solution was to have this nonprofit. If you go to my website, mindfulhealingheart.com/events, you're going to be able to find a lot of these offerings. For example, every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific time, I teach an energy healing class. And it's also like shadow work because we come together and we talk about our fears, our anger, like blockages that we're trying to transform. And imagine doing yoga or qigong exercises that are targeted to that particular organ. Actually, last week we did a set on lungs because there's an uptick of COVID in Los Angeles. So we're very in tune with the news, okay? If there's like more COVID, then we're doing things to work the lungs. And that is a really the thing that I'm really passionate about now is just being able to help more people regardless of their income level.
And you are building community that way. And I think that's terrific because people are getting to meet each other that they wouldn't normally have that opportunity, and they're creating networks and friendships too, which I'm sure it's just very delightful for you. I do have one last question for you. I know you're into health and you're into wellness, and that's what a large part of this podcast is about. Would you share with us one of your pillars of self-care? What do you do that keeps you going?
My secret is to lie in the sun like a lizard.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
You know, I think that the best tip is the free tip. Yeah, the best tip is the free tip. Everybody can just go out into the sun, find a piece of grass or a deck, and just lie there and just soak it in, you know, because if you believe that there is a higher power, or maybe not even a higher power, but you just believe in the sun and the moon and nature, trees, birds, right? Just nature. Just being outside helps you connect to the greater universe. So when I wrote the shadow work book, actually it was 18 months ago. And honestly, when I read it now, it's a little bit cringy because I'm like, oh my God, there's so much pain here. But I also know that if you are in a lot of pain right now, reading that book, you're just going to be resonating left and right, every chapter, every sentence, be like, wow, this is exactly what I'm going through. The reason why we're stuck in the anger, in the fear, and the shame, and the unworthiness is because we are in the me, the ego. And all you have to do is be in nature and do nothing. Just listen to the birds chirp and listen to the wind blow and the leaves make a sound and feel the warmth of the sun ray. Again, high vibration, right? It's free.
Yeah.
Just hitting your body, and it dissolves these ego blockages of fear and anger. Gosh, this is therapy at free, okay? So everybody should do it.
I'm a big believer in being outside in nature, and that's my go-to after work every day. I think it's fabulous advice. Winnie, this was very eye-opening. I say that a lot on this podcast because I have some spectacular guests, but it really did open my eyes to some things that I think we can all do a little bit better when we want to do some self-healing. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, and thank you all the podcast listeners for tuning in. And if you also had an eye-opening experience, please give this a 5-star review and share it with your friends.
Yes. Hey, thanks, Winnie. Appreciate the the shout-out. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Follow Asking for a Friend on social media outlets and provide a review and share this show wherever you get your podcasts. Reviews and sharing help us grow.